Morning. Good morning. I see everybody's...
She's supposed to say that.
Yeah, I was told already by Jerry that since it said me and my wife were going to be doing the teaching, I at least was supposed to give her the chance to say good morning to y'all and thank you for coming at the end. And just those were her two parts. But I think Jerry's harassing me a little bit already this morning. And I've already stole the good morning part. So, Sammy, why don't you open us up in prayer, though, before we get going here.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, so as everyone knows that we've been going over, for you that come here every morning, how many people are frequent guests to the Sunday mornings? Okay. And for those of you that know that I am not, yeah, you guys are here every Sunday bright and early in the morning, and so we get tested with this next fruit of the Spirit that we've been asked to teach today, and it's on joy. And let me tell you something, it is joyful getting some little kids ready in the morning and getting them out the door. And being here by 9 o'clock, and man, it just is, it's just a testimony of our joy that we are here this morning. Amen, Allison.
Steve, we know your wife got the kids ready.
Oh my goodness. I get no respect up here. Like you're out of danger. But go ahead, come here, Allison. I'm gonna have my wife. Yes, I am. I'm bringing her up because you won't tease her that bad. But we're going to be speaking on joy today. But I was my wife's going to start it off for me. Is that okay? We can have my wife start it off. Go ahead, Allison.
Okay. Good morning. And he does help with the kids. You know, little. No, he does. Well, since we're talking on joy, first we wanted to kind of find out what everyone here might have their opinion of what joy is. You know, there's different, we have the definition here that I'm going to read in a few minutes, but just go ahead and throw your ideas. What does joy mean to you guys? Just throw them out there. Anybody? Yeah, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Anything else? Anybody? Anybody? Felicia, what do you... And it can just be a one-word answer. You know, when you hear the word joy, what do you think about? Hope. Yeah, that's good. Good. Anybody else? Betty? Yes, very good, very good. Alma, you had one. Yes, from God. Wow, you guys are on point. You kind of ruined what I was going to do next. No, but does anyone ever think of happiness and joy in the same realm? They kind of...
Thank you, Pastor Don.
Who thinks that happiness and joy are the same thing, about the same thing, or do you think that there's a difference between the two? Same thing? Well, that's one of the things we're going to go over, and we're going to talk about that happiness and joy are actually pretty different. Because happiness comes a lot from our surroundings and what we're going through, our circumstances, where joy, like Betty said, is something that's internal, that comes from God, that we should pretty much carry around with us all the time as Christians. And so the Webster's definition of joy is to experience great pleasure or delight. It was actually a lot longer, but that was like the best kind of, that I kind of pulled from it, but to experience great pleasure or delight. And I don't know if you know this, but joy is used 252 times in the Bible throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. So it's pretty important to God, or it wouldn't be in there that many times. Once you see something that's in there so many times, you realize, wait a minute, this might be something I want to kind of grab a hold of and learn more about. And so we are going through a bunch of different... since it's in there, 240, I said 52, it's 242, sorry, I have to look at my notes. But there's a lot of verses, obviously, so when we went through, one that stuck out to me was James 1, verse 2 and 3. It said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And when I first read that, you know, because we were going through, like I said, a lot of different verses, I kind of passed through that one, was like, oh, that's kind of harsh, you know, have joy through your trials. Who really if they really think about it, has joy when they're going through something that is a struggle or a trial, something that's adversity coming against them. You know, it's hard. That's the time that it's hard to have joy. But those are, in my opinion, one of the most important times to keep that joy with you. Because if somebody can look at you from the outside and say, look at what they're going through, but they're still joyful in spirit and they're still kind of upbeat about things. They might not be happy in the situation, but they're joyful. Then that can be a testimony to other people around you. And that kind of leads me into, do you mind if I
No, you can go ahead and share
the story? I was kind of debating if I was even going to share this today, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because it kind of feels right. But it seemed like shortly after I read this verse and kind of was thinking about, oh, that's not, I don't really like that verse now that I read it, but.
How many of us ever read a verse in there and wished it wasn't in there?
Yeah.
I mean, some of them about the blessings, you want those ones on your life, you're like, oh, I'll receive that, brother, I'll receive it. And then you got a verse like that, and it's, I got to be joyful when there's trials in my life. Hold on, there's going to be trials? Wait a minute. I thought I was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, setting people on fire in the name of Jesus, and not physically, just, you know, spiritually. Come on, get out of the gutter now. We're talking about setting someone on fire, getting them fired up for the Lord, right? And you got a perfect, you know, you got this scripture comes along in James, and you're like, oh my gosh, what trial do I have to have joy in? And a lot of times it's a test to have joy, right? Do we ever get tested in our lives at all during our walk with the Lord? Every day. Well, this is an example of how when we got this, when we received this teaching on joy, it's almost like one of those things where you wish I would have got Donovan's last week on wisdom, because whatever you teach, for those of you who've ever taught anything, it's the very same, right when they ask you to do it, all hell will start wrecking in that area that you're going to teach on. And then you're expected to teach on that very thing that you're fighting all week to go through. Like I told Donovan, man, I already know I'm a little slow. I would have taught on wisdom last week. Because, I mean, you wouldn't have had to worry about me worrying if I'm a little, if I don't have no wisdom or not. I know I don't have that much wisdom. So I wouldn't have minded the struggle. I've been struggling my whole life for getting smarter and getting the Lord's wisdom in my life. But, of course, we got joy. So, obviously, we faced some trials. Allison's about to tell you one of them.
Okay. Most of you know, I don't know, some of you might not, but I'm an X-ray tech, other than, you know, now I stay home with my kids. I've stayed home for the last five, almost 6 years. And, but I got my degree in X-ray about 14 years ago. And I worked in the field for about 8 years. And you have to, after you graduate, you have to, every 2 years, you have to get a continuing education credit. You have to get 24 credits to stay certified and with your credentials. And so I've been doing that. You know, even when I stopped working, I wanted to make sure that that's something that I kept up just in case something happened and I needed to go back to work or just to have it. You know, I went to school for all that time. You don't want to just lose something. And so I was getting my credits. So I was getting my credits all together, and I had everything, and I was all excited, and I said to Steve, you know what? I never got the packet from them. They send you, like, a little packet so you can, you know, fill out, you know, what you're doing right now and put all your credits in there. And so I said, I'm going to go to the registry website, and I'm just going to look at it, pull it up, and get my paperwork. Well, I go to the registry website, and I pull it up and put my little code in and everything, and it says, oh, well, you have to take the boards again. And I'm like shocked. I looked at Steve. I said, "There's got to be a mistake because I haven't been in school in, you know, 13, 14 years. There's no way I'm taking that board exam again. Things have changed. It was hard enough the first time when I took it and passed it. I'm not taking it again. Plus, it's $200 to take it, and who wants to pay that?" So I was like, "There has to be a mistake."
Amen.
So I'm like, "There has to be a mistake." So I start looking online and doing all this stuff, trying to figure out what happened, and come to find out. You know, and I've moved twice in the last 2 years and had a baby. My credits were due last year. And I missed it. I totally missed it. I didn't change my address, and I missed it. So I looked online again and saw where it said, you know, if you're within 6 months of your time, you can be reinstated with just a fine. And even if you've been under 12 months, you know, you can go in there, but they're going to do a little extra things to you, but, you know, you can don't have to take your boards. So I, again, get all my credits, get everything ready, and I'm getting my certificates because I know I'm going to have to fax everything in now because it's getting close to the date. And so as I'm trying to get all my credits together, you know, to my documentation, because now I don't have the paper just to write it on to mail it in, I have to actually send my certificates in that say that I got these credits. I lose it on the computer. I lose everything. So now I'm like, I have to take this one exam that I took to get these credits all over again. So I take the whole test over again, get it again. I'm like, all right, Steve, I don't know what I did last time, but I lost all my credits. I know I have them. I know I did them. You just got to help me to get this paper so I can send it in. And Steve's like, okay. So we take a picture of the screen. We do all this stuff. We lose it again. And I'm like, no. So I'm praying. I'm like, and Steve's like, well, there's nothing I could do because it was late at night. So Steve's like, all right, well, just, you know, you'll be fine. Call him in the morning and have him just send you the certificate. I said, okay. So in the morning, you know, I call and the woman, everything, you know, and I pray beforehand. I'm like, you know, like my kids are looking at me like, Mom, what are you praying about? You know, because I'm like all loud and like, yeah, I need this paperwork. You know, because a lot of times it takes a while to get there. So the lady's like, oh, I can send it over in the next 10 minutes. So I'm like, praise God, this is great. You know, look at how God's favor's moving. So I get this paper, and I'm all excited, and I call the registry and to tell them, you know, I have all my stuff. It's not been 12 months yet. And she's like, probably the rudest person I've ever spoke to in my entire life. Let me just put that out there. So that was a whole trial in itself that I kept calm and didn't, like, lose my Christianity.
Because you know how it gets when you're talking to someone professionally on the phone. And they begin to insert their attitude of how they're not going to do nothing for you. Have we been there before? Troy, have you been there? Yes.
So
some of your wives are like, give me the phone, honey. Give me the phone. No, give me the phone. Some of your husbands, I'll call them. What's her name? You want to get a little assertive, you might want
to
say.
So I talked to this woman, and everything was, sorry, can't help you. You know, you're going to have to take the boards again. And I was like, oh, come on. You know, and I'm trying to be nice. I'm like, okay, well, what if, let's say scenario, I would have did this 6 months. Oh, yeah, 6 months ago, we would have accepted it. But now, you have to take the boards again. You have to pay the $200. Sorry, that's just the way it is. So I'm upset. I hang up. I cry. I'm a big baby. I call Steve. I call my dad. I'm calling everybody I can think of. I can't believe they're doing this to me. And my dad's like, I'll call him, you know. I've been in the ART for, you know, 30 some years. I'll call him. It'll be okay. He calls me back. He's like, sorry, there's nothing you can do. We even told them that we would drive to Minnesota because their story was that there wasn't enough time to print out the packet to give to me. So we were going to drive to Minnesota and I would have had to miss today and everything, but I was going to drive there and give it to him. But no, it's not going to happen. So when I hung up, I was all, you know, I was upset. I cried again. And I remember thinking to myself, what is God doing? You know, and I'm so upset. I'm so unhappy. I remember saying to my mom, I am so not happy right now. And then all of a sudden, here comes that verse. And I'm like, gosh darn it. So I started, you know, thinking about it. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, my situations weren't happy. But I was still able to then start laughing about it and just laugh and say to Steve, you know what? I'm still joyful in who God is and what he's doing. I know he's got a plan. This could possibly be because maybe, you know, now I'm starting to think all these things. He wants to push me in another direction. And I've always lent, you know, kind of leaned back on being an x-ray tech. And, you know, I could always go out and get a job if I wanted to. You know, there's been those, I'll just put it out there, those fights where I could get a job and I could support this family myself if I wanted to. You know, that type of thing. You know, all I... So now it's like, you know, I had to reach down and say, no, I'm still joyful in who God is. And my salvation and my whole identity is in him and what he has for me and what he's going to do in my life. And now it's time for me to be able to sit back and say, okay, God, you have a plan. And I'm gonna go my best route with you to follow that plan and to see where you're going to take this. You know, the credentials at the end of my name don't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things. It's who God says I am and what he wants to do with my life. And there I may take the board exam again. Steve and I haven't really talked about it. And I'll pass it. I know I will. But it's like looking at the situation and saying, okay, God, what do you have? And being joyful through the process of whatever, wherever he takes me.
Amen.
And I need some water, so I'm going to sit down. You go ahead and all right, and take all right. it from there.
Amen. She'll be interjecting throughout the time I'm up here, I'm sure. Yeah, keep that with you. No, but wasn't that good? Ain't that exactly how the world works and our lives work? I mean, we're forced to live a life that sometimes we don't necessarily see, and we feel things. We're supposed to accept God at His Word. We had something awesome happen at this church this past Sunday. And I didn't even get a chance to tell Pastor Don about it, but there was a young man who came up when we were on the prayer team that gave his heart to the Lord, gave his life to the Lord. See, I heard one amen. We should be excited about that. But it's hard sometimes to get excited about things. That, I mean, it says angels rejoice in heaven over one that is saved. But a lot of times, because things aren't happening in our life right here and now, that we can't get excited about that. I just said again that somebody got saved and gave their heart to the Lord. They were going to hell last week, and they're not going to hell no more. There we go. We should get excited about that, right? That's exciting, you know, but it's so hard to get excited about things when it's not happening to us personally, right? It's so hard to develop a joy with inside of the pit of your belly, Yeah, man, that's awesome, man, and I'm glad for you. And you hear somebody get blessed, and you're like, dang, man, but what about me? What about me? Dang, that's great. Stephen Allison, man, that's jacked up about her credits, but man, have some real problems. Man, that's your trial? Man, tell that to the guy who's digging ditches in Africa so they can get a spring going so they can get running water. Come on, somebody. You know, it's like, have some real issues. But to us, every issue that we personally have is important to God, right? It says that He cares about us. He knows us by name. And I want to jump into this. We're just kind of whetting your appetite this week in joy. And I'm going to start off in John. For those of you that have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 15, verse 9. And Allison already talked a little bit about the difference between happiness and joy. I love reading, for those of you that know me, I love reading old dead people's books. And it's just weird. I just like, you know, these 1800 authors. And I was reading Charles Spurgeon. He wrote a book on joy. And he's an old English preacher. And he said his definition of happiness was, and I liked it, it was very simple. Happiness is a fleeting emotion based on external circumstances. I'll repeat that. Happiness is a fleeting emotion based on external circumstance. That means exactly what my wife said. It's everything that, if everything's going around you good and what you feel is the best thing that's going on right now, then you're happy. Michigan won, barely, but you're happy. Oh my gosh. I was working this week, and I was in Buffalo Wild Wings. Thank God. God is so good. He put a Buffalo Wild Wings in the city of Detroit, and I was happy. And I chose to take my lunch break, conveniently, Roger, at the time the game would be in the second half. And I still had time to spare as long as they didn't go into overtime to get back out on the road. And one of the guys, he's sitting there yelling at me. You know, it's just like, ain't it funny how in the world you can become friends? That's why I never understood this in church. Why do we sit so cliquish in groups at church, but then you can go to a bar with a bunch of people cheering for a team and just a stranger be like, man, did you see that stuff? Oh, my gosh, I don't even know the guy. Oh, officer, man, you need to do something about that. We just got robbed on that call. I cannot believe that. And I don't know this guy, but he's just talking to me. You know, complete stranger. I'm like, I know that was terrible. And I made a joke with him. I said, man, you if they lose this game, you better cover your ears. He goes, cover your ears. I said, I'm about to shoot that screen. And he goes, well, hold on. Let me get my video. Let me get my camera ready. I'm going to shoot that in the channel too, man. That's going to make some news. And I was just joking. They won. But I wouldn't have wanted him to test me. Come on, man. I would have probably turned around and he would have been like, go ahead, man. They lost. It was terrible, too. Go ahead. Everybody wants a story. But but it's when things happen around you, you're excited. You get happy. But happiness comes and goes. I remember with the Pistons when they won the championships, and they just had those guys downtown because they had a big reunion this past week. And how excited I was when they won. But that excitement has gone, right? Our team's terrible now, and I don't get excited when the Pistons come on TV anymore. I just don't. And it's because those things, those events, some of the things in our life bring us happiness, but only for a moment. Only for a moment. But it's the joy of the Lord that comes internally that needs to continue to shape us and mold us and have us bubbling up with expectation of what are you going to do next, Lord? In this trial, I know I'm going through a trial, and we're going to talk about scriptures that say it's okay to be in a sorrowful place, but man, God's joy is going to renew me in the morning. He's going to renew me right now. He's going to begin to stir something up inside of me that says, I know the situation looks bleak, but my God is still God. And He is faithful, and He's always been faithful. I've continued to fall in this area of frustration. I've continued to get angry and speak to people the way I shouldn't speak to them. But Lord, thank you for your mercy. I got an amen over there by your table, Fred. But God is still faithful, and as long as you take yourself and say, God, do a work in me, because I do not want to continue to fall in this pit day after day, week after week, and say, that's just how Steve Shank is. That's just how he is. I refuse to give in to someone else's definition of who I am. God tells me who I am. God defines who I am. Amen? So, and I'm getting all excited. I haven't even got to John chapter 15 yet. John 15, verse 9. Through this week, like I said, we're going to be answering questions. Where is joy produced? Where is joy produced? How do you get joy? How do you keep joy? What's the scriptures say about joy? And we already talking just briefly right about happiness. True joy is something that comes from within. I have here a definition. Within it, it's a deep abiding peace and a sense of contentment and strength. And contentment, I love the word contentment because it is so hard to be content in our culture today. Because we're a more culture. What's more? Yeah, that was nice, but what's next? You know, I hate the word, and my wife will tell you, I hate the word epic. I cannot stand it because everything's epic nowadays. This word came out of the blue, it seems, within these last years, this last couple years, and it's in advertisers are using it, blowing it across screens. You go on, you're on 75 and you see epic, you know, wings at Applebee's. Like, the wings are epic at Applebee's, really? You know, and it's just, because you're always looking for the greater, the more, right? And sometimes we're just not content in where God has us now. One thing I say a lot with working with the college students in the church, they're not where they want to be right now. A lot of them aren't paying a mortgage. A lot of them aren't married. A lot of them don't have a car of their own, or their parents are still paying their car insurance. Man, I remember those days. And they're not where they want to be. So the natural reaction for them, at least, is to say, man, when? When's it going to happen? There's no contentment in me because I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my spouse. I'm waiting for this house. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for that. And saying, my God, help me to stay grounded where I'm at right now. I know I'm not where I need to be. But while I'm there, I want to be an active member of in service for your kingdom. I'm a soldier in the army of the living God. And yeah, I'm working at a Tim Hortons. And I know Tim Hortons is not what I'm getting my degree in. Hallelujah. But I am going to advance the kingdom of God at that Tim Hortons. I'm going to be a shining light for those people that come in and grab a cup of coffee. If it's only just my smile through my aggravation that I feel why I'm in this place that touches somebody's heart, then I'm going to smile. Man, because you can't manufacture joy. You can't manufacture joy. It's got to be something that's dwelling in the pit of your belly that rises when every situation around you looks bleak. John 15:9. See what Jesus says. Don't you guys love the red letters in this book? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Seems easy, right? Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So Jesus says, if I can do it, you can do it. Come on, man. That's huge. If he can heal, pray over somebody and they be healed, then you can possibly do the same thing, right? I have told you this so that my joy, say the word joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And I'm going to stop right there. But I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. So what did you tell me, Jesus? Let's backtrack. Because it's so easy to read the word and just read it and continue. What's next? What's next? That's our mentality. We talked about it, right? But let's go back. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I believe the very first thing of how do we lose joy, and we're probably going to end here. I got some time, man. God is so good. You see that? You see that joy just come over me just instantly on it. Normally, Roger, I'm sucking on the time, and it's just gone like a milkshake. You're like, dang, man, it's gone. I still got it. I still got it. Hallelujah. But will you remain in my love? Just that. So what? How do we, one of the things, how do we lose joy? Well, Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, you remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. What have you told me, Jesus? That if I obey your commands, a lot of times, very first thing I want you to get, we want you to get, is that how does your joy get robbed from you when we find ourselves not obeying? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Very first, you think everything's going good because you're going for the, what's the new song? Happy, 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 how's it go? You know, it's a big song out right now. I know, Madison, I just tore that song up. It was terrible. I just messed it up. Madison's looking at me like, I can't believe he tried and attempted it. But there's this big song, and it's a craze right now, and it's called Happy. But happiness goes. It fades. And a lot of times in sin, it tells us sin is only pleasurable for what? A season, right? So in the season of the moment, we're happy while we're sinning. Because we're not obeying God at that point, right? But we're happy. And that happiness will fade away. And now we're like, man, what's wrong? Well, you just got to go out and sin again. Right? That's where our mind thinks. That's where, I shouldn't speak for some of you saints in here. But for me, that's where my mind goes. If I sin again, then I'll be happy. And you find yourself, everybody got family members that are constantly running after that happy feeling. And there's no contentment. You talk about joy. Me and Allison we get this teaching on joy, and I told you how trials instantly come. Well, me and Allison's grandparents died within 6 months of each other, within this time, and here we are being joyful. You know, we lost somebody. I just got called and told my grandfather in Tennessee that he's dying. He's got bone cancer. It's all through the bone. It's going to happen. It's inevitable unless Jesus does a miracle. And in the midst of that, no one would know that unless I tell you why. Because you have to find joy in the moments of your life that even though they're not the brightest, you know, life still goes on. You know, it's that old thing that, who lied to me? No, they said when I got saved, everything was going to be okay. Right? Has everybody heard that message preached? I know I have. I've been in church enough to hear that message. It's like, I know, but I don't want to hear that garbage, man. I just want my life to get better. right? I just want to feel better about my life right now. And the thing that I find so interesting about what God's been doing in me and Allison's personal life is saying, will you have joy? He's asking you the question, will you continue to obey and walk in my wisdom? Walk in my strength. Are you going to continue to get in your word, even though the outside of your life looks the exact opposite of what you're seeing? And I believe that's the challenge for us. Obeying means following after the Lord despite your circumstances. Anybody have anything to add to that? Nothing. Pastor Don, please don't make fun of me.
Most of you guys have seen that movie, The Gladiator, but they have the deleted scenes in there. And there was a deleted scene where the gladiator was sitting in the dungeon waiting to go out into the Colosseum. And as he was sitting there, he began to hear this cheering, and he heard lions roaring. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and he hears this singing going on. Well, it was Christians being led out into the Colosseum to be eaten by the lions. And it kind of hit him, and like, what is going on? He kind of climbed up and was looking out, and it showed this parade of Christians being led out. Now, they cut that scene out, but it was a great scene, I thought, for exactly what you're talking about, having joy. Their circumstances were, they're about ready to get, you know, tossed to the lions. But they were going out in the joy, the Spirit of God that God had given them.
Amen.
You know, not happy
Amen.
About their circumstances,
right.
but
right.
in the midst of their trials and their tribulations. Amen. And I wish, if you get the opportunity, if you have, like, you know, the producer set, whatever they call that, to pull that scene up. I mean, it really, I thought, man, that would have been great to leave that in. But we can't have anything in there about Christianity and what God could do in somebody's life. But if you get the opportunity to go there and watch it, because it was really, you know, he was contemplating his own mortality sitting in that dungeon, you know, sharpening his sword like, okay, I could die in a few minutes. But here the Christians going out there, no weapons, nothing, to face lions and to be torn apart, singing before God. It was really, really powerful. But it illustrates that point, having joy as opposed to happiness.
Amen.
Okay, I'm gonna kind of backtrack a little bit. But when Steve was talking about our grandparents, his grandmother and my grandmother both passing away within like 6 months of each other, and his grandfather now being ill. We were both very sad. You know, it was a hard time to go through, but we were able to be joyful in that moment because we knew that the both of them and his grandfather now, who hasn't even passed, we know that they were all saved. They were going to go be with the Lord and to be joyful in knowing that. They had salvation. They had him. It wasn't like they, you know, it was something to be over grieving over, because we were able to be happy and joyful, and both that we were going to see them again and they're going to be with the Lord. And he had some family members that were actually at the wake who left the wake angry, one of his uncles in particular, because he was so angry that we were, you know, talking and laughing and being happy and telling stories about them and being joyful, you know, for his grandmother. And when we found this out, Steve and I kind of sat down, we're like, why would he be so angry? And then it kind of hit us, you know, he's not saved. And that's one thing that he's lacking, is that deep, you know, joy that's internal, that's from the Lord. He doesn't have that. He's acting the way he probably should be acting, because he doesn't have that relationship with Christ that, you know, all of us here have, that we can lean on and can carry us through those circumstances that other people that unfortunately aren't saved, they don't have that to lean on. And it can be a very destructive state to be in, especially with a loss, because your mind can't look at anything but the negative, you know. So, I don't know, I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, and you know, Paul says it most, and we're at a quarter till, right? You want me to? Okay. Paul says it good in 2 Corinthians. He says, it's 2 Corinthians 6, 9, and he goes through some of the things that it's even titled Paul's Hardships. That's funny. And to me, just because I love Paul, because he's always like, you know, I'm not going to tell you how hard it was for me. But yet, when I was beaten, when I had rocks thrown at me, it's like, and he goes into it. It's just funny to me. And it's like, here he goes. He says in verse 9, he says, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making rich. And so I want to end with this. We're going to get in the joy. We're going to break it down through the next week or two. How many? We only have 2 weeks? One more week. Man, we're not going to get through this, Allison. I told you this is way too many notes. I got to blame it on her. She got the mic with her. But no, but what I want to do is break this down. But I want you guys to know that as we go in there and worship, as we go in there to hear a word that the pastors have been given, I know all of us are going through something. Whether we're frustrated, whether it's just not, the change hasn't come, whether every day that goes by, we're tested and we're like, Lord, you know I can't take it no more. You know, I know I was talking to my grandmother and she said, you know, it's weird because I just go into the paper and I just go right to who's dying because everybody in my age bracket is dying. And I'm like, man, what type of life is it? Don't just open up the paper just to see who died next. You know, it's a challenge. And I want to challenge you guys to say, God, when I go in here, I want to worship you. Because there's in our teaching is the word rejoice comes out of the word joy. And when we rejoice, we renew the joy that we once had in a God. So I challenge you guys today, no matter how you say, well, I just don't worship God like that. That's just not me. I sit and I rock and I just, you know, God meets me where I'm at. I challenge you to press into God today, to cry out to Him and say, Lord, refill me with joy. Fill me with your joy. Because I've lost it. Because my sights haven't been on your joy in a while. This week really worked me out. And I feel joy fading from my hands. But I know in your presence there is fullness of joy. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that the things that we did take for granted, the mere fact that our brakes worked at every light getting here and every stop sign, Father, is just that you have us in the palm of your hand. Father, I thank you, Lord. I even ask your blessing to be upon the people that weren't here today. Lord, that are just rushing the church, whether they're running through the getting their kids ready routine or yelling at the person because their son's not going today or whatever they're going through. Father, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit abide in this house. Lord, that when they come in there, they feel something moving that they don't want to sit. They want to jump in. Lord, they see that it's your joy that we have in you. That although the situation may not change, they're going to rejoice because of who you are. Father, and we can sing a song today and not let it just be sung because a songwriter wrote the words and they put them up on a screen, but that song would come from our hearts today, dear God. That they would come out of our frustration. That the songs of who you are would come out of the things that are going on in our life and saying, regardless of what it may look like, I'm going to praise you today. And I'm going to be filled with your joy today. And I will not let the enemy steal the joy that you placed inside of me, oh God. Father, I thank you for today. I ask, Lord, that our minds would be set right. Our eyes would be focused upon you, Lord, and we would draw deeper and closer to you today. In your mercy and your grace, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, and all the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Amen.